Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week I kind of wanted to talk about the difference between in-person coaching and online coaching, and is one better than the other? But just before I jump into that, I usually do just a little kind of weekly run through about where I'm at the moment in terms of my physique goals. So currently maintaining, which is ideal because I'm back into the running. It's great being able to run now pain-free. Like I remember I was crippled leading up to the marathon, the 2 weeks before the marathon, and up until maybe early February, like I could still kind of feel a twinge in my hips, my hip flexors. But I spent January up until mid-April strengthening those muscles. I was also in a calorie deficit too, but that was my main focus. I didn't run at all. And in the last month, I've gotten back into running, and I did a few 5Ks, and then I did my first 7K the weekend. And it was kind of tough because it was quite warm out when I was doing the run. And what else did I kind of notice about it? I think it was just the heat, and I had a stitch as well, so it was tough. Halfway through, and I stopped for about 40 seconds, and that kind of gave me a little bit of recovery, and I just got straight back into it. But delighted to have that under my belt. And then today, I was offered a ticket to the Dublin Half Marathon in the Phoenix Park. Now that's the half marathon I did last year, where I got my sub two goal, my third attempt at going for a sub two half marathon, and I was delighted with that. So when I was asked that I want to take a ticket off somebody, I actually didn't have any races booked this year. I just wanted to get back into running, but I said, you know what, I'm gonna take it, and I'm not going to put any pressure on myself to do like a sub two half marathon. I actually just want to do it to complete the distance, and also for accountability, because I feel like if I do have something booked, again, not to put any pressure on myself, but just to partake and enjoy it on the day, if I have something like a half marathon booked, it just means that my training will just be a little bit more disciplined, you know, because if I don't have anything booked, it's very easy to kind of just slack off on a run and be like, oh sure, I'm not training for anything, like I don't really need to kind of put my all into this run. But you know, if you have a half marathon booked and you're slacking with your training, like that's going to show up on the day. Like, you know, you're going to gas out, you're not going to have the endurance or the stamina built up, so it will keep me accountable, and it'll give me a reason to get up and get out on my runs consistently every week. And it just makes running a bit exciting that I have something booked. But again, not gonna commit to any time goals, but I just want to show up, you know, a lot fitter than I am today, and just be able to complete the distance and enjoy it and have fun and not have to constantly look at my watch. Because I remember that half marathon, like I did push myself to my limits, because I knew, I was like, this is my third attempt, like I have to get it this time. And I really, really did push myself in that half marathon last year, the Dublin Half in the Phoenix Park, and I was delighted, made it by the skin of my teeth. I think I had 10 seconds to spare before we hit the 2 hour mark. But yeah, I've achieved that goal. Who knows where I'll be now in 13 weeks? That's how long it is away. I'm at around a 6 minute pace now to 6:10, and I think with consistency now I'll get back into the 5 minute bracket eventually. But I'm not going to be breaking myself up to be like getting down to like 5:40, 5:40. By the time I was doing that half marathon, I had to keep like a 5:40, 5:45 pace in order to get the sub two goal. And that was tough because, you know, there was parts of that half marathon where it was very congested, and I remember my pace was slipping to like a 6 minute pace, you know, temporarily, because you're caught behind a lot of people who are taking up the footpath and who are probably just a bit slower than you. So, you know, I had to run in the bike lane for part of it, you know, that big long stretch that goes to the Phoenix Park, that kind of road, that main road that goes through the middle of it. I had to jump into the bike lane just so I could overtake people, because otherwise I wouldn't have hit the sub two goal. I was like, no, I'm not leaving this half marathon unless I get this sub two goal. So yeah, I just have that book just for something as a, you know, kind of accountability, because I go to the gym anyway. I go to the gym, you know, 4 times a week, and I do cardio. I'm kind of just doing one or two cardio sessions now, and then my running is my cardio after that, or extra cardio, I should say. That's my main form of cardio, the running. But yeah, I go to the gym anyway, and it's just something to have booked to keep me accountable, keeps me in check with my diet and exercise routine, etc. I do it anyway, but it just makes it a little bit more exciting. Like I brush my teeth every day, that's something I just do, and I go to the gym for 4 days a week. Because I remember when I was away, obviously in Oz and the Philippines, I didn't go to the gym at all. I didn't do any runs. I didn't
What else did I do? I didn't track any steps. I didn't track any food. Like some days my steps would probably be high because I probably did a lot of walking around that day. But I wasn't going out of my way to actively get 10K steps. So yeah, that felt weird. That was probably the longest period I had off from like exercising and diet, or should I say good nutrition. So I was actually looking forward to getting back and getting back into my gym routine and picking up the running again. So yeah, it's a way of life for me. I can really see it in the mirror now, like that, you know, the amount of muscle I've built over the last few years. Like, I think I really started taking this seriously around 2021, 2022. So, like, that's been nearly 4 years now of just consistently going to the gym 4 to 5 times a week, walking consistently, you know, just looking after my diet, like that 80-20 rule. And I can really see, like, the muscle on my frame now, like, you know, my hamstrings, my shoulders, my biceps, my back. And obviously I could see it way more prominently when I went into a deficit, when I was heading away to Oz in the Philippines, because I took off some body fat. So, you know, the muscles looked more pronounced, you might say. I looked more toned. But when you're carrying a bit of body fat, which is, you know, I've obviously put on a few more pounds since that holiday because I enjoyed myself, but that's okay. I'm back to kind of like my baseline weight now, which is, you know, the size that I like. If I'm going away on a long holiday again, obviously I try to trim down, but I'm at a physique that I love, and, you know, my muscles are full because I have more carbs in the body now and I'm just stronger in the gym. And who knows, next year if I go back to Australia again, or somewhere in Southeast Asia, I go into another calorie deficit and I'll probably look even more toned because this is just something I do. I just tick a box 4 to 5 times a week, go to the gym, try to be better than I was last week, and you one day you just look into the mirror and you're like, wow, like my body has completely changed. You know, it's great. When you're looking in the mirror, you can see it in your traps, you can see it, the definition in your arm, even when it's not flexed and stuff. And that's just, it's very, it fills me with pride when I look in the mirror, because I wasn't just doing it for a few weeks or, you know, for a holiday. It's a lifestyle. I do it no matter what. I do it the whole way throughout the year. I don't just do it for 8 weeks and then go back to old habits. And that's something I teach in my 8 week challenge as well, which is starting again on the 6th of July. If you want the early bird price, I am sending out a link on the 29th of June. So you'll get the early bird offer. It's $169.99. Whereas the full price is €200. So yeah, I'll be running that for a few days. You can sign up to my mailing list, which is on my Instagram page. It's right underneath my profile picture on my Instagram page. And yeah, you can sign up to the mailing list and you'll get that down to the 29th of June. But that's something I teach in my 8 week challenges. Like, this is not something you're just gonna do for 8 weeks and then go back to old habits. Like, I educate you, like, how to maintain your progress, how to, you know, build a sustainable fat loss plan. How to make it, you know, how to adjust the plan to your lifestyle. Like, obviously, you have to be in a calorie deficit. That's a given, okay? That's something I have to paint everyone with. Everyone has to go into a calorie deficit in order to lose body fat, but not everyone. It's not a one size fits all, okay? In terms of, okay, everyone has to do 4 workouts a week and everyone has to eat these calories and everyone has to do this amount of steps and everyone has to do this amount of cardio, because everyone's different. Everyone has a different schedule. Everyone has different needs, availability, priorities. You know, some people don't have any kids and they have more free time. Some people have 3 kids and they don't have that much time. But you can still make massive amounts of progress no matter what your situation is. You just have to adjust the plan to your lifestyle. And that's something that I do on check-ins every week. If someone's gone away, if someone's sick, if someone has something coming up like a social event, I will educate you how to, you know, I suppose, navigate your way through them rather than just avoid social occasions, rather than avoid nights out. You learn how to live through them rather than avoid them when you're in a fat loss phase. And then obviously as well, when you finish a calorie deficit, that doesn't mean you just go all in then with the social occasions and like drink rings around yourself and eat rings around yourself. You learn moderation. You learn how to, you learn balance. You learn the 80-20 rule. And that's through the group calls that we do every week. And obviously you learn that through the check-ins and stuff. But yeah, it's feedback that I get all the time, with my own one-on-one clients, and then the 8 week challenge clients as well. It's just the amount of stuff that they learned, and also, you know, how shocked they are at the end of the 8 week challenge that, wow, I didn't need to like do this super restrictive diet to achieve these results. I just had to be patient and I just had to be consistent. And it's such a sustainable approach as well. I didn't have to eat poverty calories, like 1100 calories, and spend all day on a Stairmaster and like completely restrict myself from, like, you know, the fun foods like the pizza and the chocolate. I just learn how to moderate it and not beat myself up if I have an off day and just get back on track the next day. All of that. But speaking of challenges, coaching and stuff like that, I wanted to talk about the difference between in-person coaching and online coaching. Okay, so they both have their merits. They both kind of have their pros and their cons. So online, in-person coaching, I would say is probably beneficial to someone who is a complete beginner. Okay, so someone who has never lifted a weight in their life, I wouldn't recommend online coaching for a person like that. And I'll tell you why, because you need to be with a PT to show you how to do the movement and they can watch you do an exercise so you don't injure yourself. They can teach you proper form and they're also educating you, you know, with food and stuff like that while you're there too. Like, you can ask them questions, you can build a relationship with your PT also. And also, it's probably helpful for women who want to get out of the house. You know, sometimes they're like, no, do you know what? I need an hour to myself. No, look, you can do that with online coaching. You get a program from your online coach and you go to the gym yourself. But also maybe having that kind of like relationship with a PT in person, you know, you get to see them 2 to 3 times a week. You get to build that relationship, that rapport. And it's someone that's keeping you accountable as well. And, you know, forking over the money for monthly coaching in person can keep you accountable because you have to show up. Okay, you've paid ahead of time, you've paid, I don't know, like €200 for 2 or 3 sessions a week for a month. Now I actually don't know what the going rate is now for in-person coaching because I haven't done it in so long, but it keeps you accountable. And I suppose that's probably the cons of doing something like that. And also, like, there's semi-private group training where you and maybe 3 other women or 2 other women have the same PT and you go at the same time slot and you're all kind of on the same page. But it's also like a reason for you to get out and socialize. Like, it's helping you to get out of the house and kind of get away from home life or, you know, mammy mode, and just be there with 2 other women and your coach. And, you know, you're striving for the same goal, you're there to lift weights, you're there to maybe have a little bit of kind of chat time as well and a bit of socializing. But ultimately, you're there to just kind of, I suppose, have a support system as well. Like, there's people there who are striving for the same things you are, and you all feel like you're on the same page and you push each other and stuff. Like, that's the benefit of, I suppose, in-person coaching. Now, the cons of in-person coaching as well is sometimes you can be restricted with time. Okay, so for example, it might not suit a coach to do a 6 a.m. slot because they're full. They're like, sorry, I only have 7 a.m. Available. And you're like, right, well, that's quite close to the school run, so I don't know whether I'm going to be able to do that. And in the long run, you might find, actually, you know what, this time slot is not working for me. I'm not going to be able to keep it up. The coach hasn't got any other time slots available. You kind of have to work with your coach in terms of like what times they have available, because you can't just rock up and be like, well, I can only do 6 a.m. on a Thursday, 4 p.m. on a Wednesday. And they're like, well, I don't work those hours, or those hours are already full. Whereas like an online coach, it's quite different, okay? So the pros of in-person coaching is it's especially good if you're a beginner, okay? If you need to learn to do exercises, like if you go into, say, like a boot camp style class, if you've never picked up a weight before, there's going to be like 10 to 15 people in the class, which chances are, if there's only one coach there, they're not going to have the time to put aside and to teach you how to do a movement, because those classes are so fast paced. So if you are a complete beginner, or also one thing I actually forgot to mention, if you are pregnant, okay, or you've just had a baby, like I always ask that question in my questionnaire if I'm ever taking on a one-on-one client. And also, you know, even with my 8-week challenge, like if you are pregnant or you're just postpartum, and if you've got the all clear from the doctor after you've had a baby that you can go back and train, and fair enough. But if you are pregnant and you don't know anything about, you know, training during pregnancy, like, do not go with an online coach. Don't sign up to an 8-week challenge. Like, you need to be with a PT in person so they can tell you what to do. They can make sure that your form is correct, so you don't, like, you know, put your back in jeopardy, or, you know, put yourself at risk of an injury. Okay, so definitely pregnancy is probably another reason to do an in-person coaching, and if you're a complete beginner. And then eventually when you build a bit of confidence, you can go into the gym yourself then, you know, into a public gym. And that's probably another thing as well. It's probably beneficial for someone who might not have built up enough confidence to go into a gym setting, and they're like, do you know what, I think I need to work with a PT for a bit, because if I know how to do a lot of exercises and, you know, I'm taught how to do it in private, like, I don't know if you go to a PT in a public gym where there's loads of other people around anyway, like, it's still the same, I suppose. But you do have PTs who have their own private gym, and it's just you and them in the gym setting, and you probably feel more comfortable. You know, maybe it's a female trainer as well. So yeah, it's definitely probably a good option for a beginner, someone who might be a bit intimidated on a gym floor, a public gym floor, and someone who might be pregnant. Okay, and then also you can have like coaches that come to your house. Like, if you have that luxury, if you have like, I don't know, a granny flat that's turned into a gym, or you have a spare room, like, there's coaches out there that actually come to your home and they work on your time, but obviously they are way more expensive. But moving into online coaching, which is something that a lot of coaches have moved into now, obviously it's beneficial for an online coach because they aren't paying rent, okay, and they aren't confined to one space, all right, which means that they can take on clients from all over the world, essentially, not just in their local area. So that's probably the benefits for the coach. And also, you aren't confined to, you know, a limited amount of clients because there's only so many hours in the day, all right? When I worked in the gym, I found that, you know, the most popular time slots were 6 a.m, 7 a.m, because that's where people train before work, okay? A lot of people want to train early in the morning because they know they're going to be wrecked tired when they come home in the evening. And then sometimes you might have afternoon slots for people who maybe only work part-time, people who are maybe on maternity leave, people who are self-employed, or people who may be unemployed at the moment, etc. Yeah, so, and then obviously in the evening as well. Your basic coaches are basically working in gyms when people aren't working. So yeah, those hours. And then in the evening you have like 5 p.m, 6 p.m, 7 p.m, 8 p.m, sometimes 9 p.m. Okay. But with online coaching, for example, I'm gonna tell you how I operate. I do my check-ins on Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays. Okay. So when I take on clients, they either have a check-in with me on a Wednesday, which would be every Wednesday, and then, you know, you could have a check-in with me on a Thursday. So I have, you know, say X amount of clients that I do check-ins with on a Wednesday, and then also a Thursday and a Friday, okay? Because I can't do them all in one day because there's only so many hours in a day and I don't want to be sat at the laptop for 12 hours. But if I take on a client, I'm like, look, Mary, you're going to be doing a check-in with me every Wednesday. I usually always do my check-ins in the evening time because I do other stuff during the day. And then my coaching business is mainly kind of like in the late afternoon. I do my check-ins then. And then my 8-week challenge check-ins, they're always on a Wednesday morning and a Wednesday afternoon. But yeah, and it's easier for an online client because they can go to the gym on their time. All right. They can say to me, Enya, like, I work 9 to 5, so I usually go to the gym in the morning. That's absolutely fine. You go to the gym. If you said to me that you can only do 4 days a week, that's okay. We will create a program that suits you, okay? You can go 4 days a week. Okay, great. Okay, we'll design a program for, you know, we might do upper, lower, and then push, pull, etc. Or you could do 2 full body days and then upper, lower. It just depends on the person's goal. But they go to the gym at the time they want. I'm not texting them being like, hey, you said you're going to the gym, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 7 a.m. Have you been yet? I don't text them that. They go on their own time. They are an adult. They're a grown human. They have to take accountability. And then with their food, the thing is, well, with in-person training, like, you turn up probably 2-3 times a week. How was your food this week? Yeah, it was all right. Okay, good. Now, when I was coaching people in person, I didn't have like a food log or anything, you know. I would just say, here's your calories, here's your macros, this is what you have to stick to going forward. But I would just have to take their word when they would turn up every week. How was your food this week? Yeah, it was fine. And how was your protein? Yeah, it was fine, this and that. Whereas like online coaching, you have a sheet that you have to fill out and you have to put your calories in and you have to put your macros in and you have to put how many steps you got per day and you have to put, you know, what days you trained, how much cardio you did. It's way more detailed, okay? And it's just, I suppose, better for accountability because your coach can see what calories you ate each day. So I'd be looking at the spreadsheet for Mary, and I'll be like, yeah, what was happening there on Thursday and Friday? Your protein was quite low and your calories were really high. Oh yeah, well, I went out for food in the evening, and then the following morning I went out for breakfast with a friend, and I don't really know how many calories were in the meal, so I just kind of guesstimated. Like, that's the beauty of being able to like log your calories, and your coach can see like your week overall, you know, it's like the big picture. So that's one benefit of online coaching, is there's probably just more detail added, okay, for the client. And it's better for the coach, because they, once they see more detail, you become better to coach. And then there's also a downside to it as well, that like, there's, you know, a certain amount of, I suppose, dedication that's expected from a client. Like, if I'm logging on and a client is only logging every second day with their food, and they're not telling me how their sleep was, like, there's a column in my check-in sheets for the client, and they have to tell me, you know, their sleep each night. Like, if they're not telling me how well they slept, if they're only logging their food every second day, if they're not logging their steps, how am I supposed to coach someone like that? Like, it works both ways. Just because you sign up to an online coach doesn't equal results straight away, okay? Like, you have to give your coach as much information as possible, because again, you're not in person either. Like, you're not having those conversations 2 to 3 times a week. Like, I look at your check-in sheet and I send you back over video feedback. Hey, we need to improve here, and I noticed your sleep was really poor here. That explains why your cravings were spiking over the few days. That explains why your sessions weren't, your sessions were suffering, because you didn't have that much energy, because you had really, really poor sleep. Like, if you're not communicating these things to your coach, and you're like, why is the scale not dropping? Well, I mean, you're telling me that you're ticking all your boxes, but something's not adding up here. Like, you know, are you actually being accurate with the information that you're giving me? Because it's not adding up. Like, the scale's not dropping, but you're saying that you're doing everything. How's your sleep? How's your stress? Like, all of these things fall into play, and that's the amount of analysis that you can do with online coaching. And it's just, it's probably better as well for people who, you know, don't have the time to go to a gym and do a PT session on a PT's schedule. You know, they get to go on their own time. And also people who want to train at home, okay? People who can't pay a PT to come into their home. That's a great thing about an online coach. Enya, I have this amount of equipment at home. I want to lose a bit of weight. I have a holiday coming up. And I also just want to improve my lifestyle as well, because I have a young child and I'm going to be running around after, and I need energy for that as well. And I just want to be stronger and I want to be better for her. I love when women sign up to do one-on-one coaching with me, and one of their primary reasons for getting in shape is they want to be better for their kids. Like, I just think that's such a wholesome reason. And it's probably like a smack of reality as well, being like, I need to protect this child at all costs, and I want to be as healthy as possible, so I'm around you know, for a really, really long time to take care of them. So also, yeah, Matt, it's the online coaching is great for someone who wants to train at home. They're given a program, they get a check-in each week, you know, they're being coached through that field as well. And yeah, it's ideal as well. Like, so maybe a new parent who can't get to the gym because they're a stay-at-home mom for the moment, they're on maternity leave. It's really, really great in that sense as well. So, but it is just, I suppose, across the two of them, in-person training and online coaching, like, it's not a magic tool, okay? Like, just because you sign up for something doesn't mean you're going to get results. Like, it's a 50-50. It's a two-way relationship, okay? You work with the coach and you give the coach what the coach needs, and the coach can coach you properly, and then you're going to get results. But if you sign up with a coach, whether it's in person or online, guys, like, you have to be putting in the work, because you're not going to get anything back if you don't. If you only put 20% in and expect 100% of the result back, like, you're very, very naive, okay? And it is a lot. Like, you know, you're filling out your check-in sheet the day before or the night before you're due your check-in with your coach, and you're putting in a lot of information, but that's what it takes, because you're not seeing your coach in person, and this coach really needs to understand you and your lifestyle and your habits, etc. And it's just, if you are signing up to train with someone online, this is the level of information that's needed, okay? You need to be putting in your calories, your food, etc. Like, how can you expect to get results when you aren't even sure if you were in a calorie deficit today? Oh yeah, I forgot to add my food. oh, do you know what? I went out the weekend, but I just didn't track on Sunday either because I just thought I ruined my progress. No, like you still, if you thought you went over your calories, you need to put that in. Like your coach is not going to give out to you. The more honest you are and the more transparent you are with your coach, the better they can coach you. Because if you're lying and saying, oh, I don't know what a scale is dropping, but you're not, you're hiding the fact that you were out 3 times that week, eating off plan, you know, on the drink Friday and Saturday, but you're not putting that in your check-in sheet. Your coach can't coach you properly because there's no honesty, there's no transparency. And then your coach starts doubting themselves because they're like, this program that I'm giving her, like she's ticking all her boxes, like what's happening here? And then you're like, oh, can we drop me calories because I'm not getting results, but you're also not being honest about all the eating off plan that you're doing and the drinking, and now you're dropping your calories, but you're still going out in the piss the weekend, so dropping your calories is going to do zilch because you're still overeating. Okay, so if you say to your coach, can we drop me calories, but you're actually being honest and transparent about, you know, the overeating and the drinking, your coach is going to say to you, no, we aren't dropping our calories because you can't even stick to the calories that you're on now. So why do you think dropping them is going to make you drop body fat? Because you can't even be consistent with the calories you're on now. Like that's the beauty of being honest and being transparent. The only way we're going to drop body fat is if you be consistent and stop being a yes man all the time and stop reaching for short-term gratification, like the binge drinking and the eating out because it's easy. You know, you actually learn a lot about yourself through online coaching as well, because your coach is going to pick up on habits that you probably aren't aware of, or, you know, patterns. Like, oh, you seem to mention this person all the time in your check-ins. Like, they seem to be fond of the drink and they seem to be kind of pulling you down with them every time they fancy a drink on the weekends. Or this person, or you know, work actually comes into it a lot as well. There was a work lunch, there was a work dinner. And it's like, look, I know you have a job and part of that could be socializing, part of that could be going to meetings, but it's not alien to say, I'm just going to have a coffee today because I have my lunch in the office, or I'm going to have something to eat when I go home, or I'm actively trying to lose weight for a holiday. Like, you know, be honest, be transparent. Or if it's no one's business, then just say, I have something to eat when I go home. Because, you know, I've coached plenty of people who actually have to do frequent work lunches and then they're complaining then that the scale's not dropping. And like, something has to give. Like, sacrifices have to be made here. Like, okay, let's maybe limit it to one work lunch a week. All right, so you're eating out once a week. And, you know, if there's 2 or 3 lunches a week that you have to go to, like, something has to give. Like, you either have to have a coffee or a Diet Coke or water or something like that. Or we have to start readjusting our expectations, because you can't be going out having starters, mains and desserts 3 times a week and expecting that scale to drop, all right? And then you're having wine as well then if it's a work dinner or if it's a work event. Like, you have to have boundaries, and I talk about that on my podcast all the time. But this is the level of communication that you need when it comes to online coaching. Like, I've actually coached people and I've never heard their voice. I swear to God, I've coached people where we actually build up such a solid relationship through WhatsApp, through the check-ins and stuff. And, you know, they trust me and I've gotten to know them. I've gotten to know their schedule, their lifestyle, their family, etc., how they operate. And it's great to see that transformation, you know. But then you also get people who come along and want to do online coaching and the check-ins start to get delayed. They're not turning up on their check-in day. Well, it's not filled in, I should say. Like, you don't actually need to be available on the day you're check-in. It's just a day where I expect your whole sheet to be filled out. You know, they're delayed. I didn't get a chance to fill it in any up to me eyes. So that's a week now where we didn't do a check-in because they just didn't fill it in. Or, you know, there can be a number of reasons, but sometimes it's like, right, this is actually not good enough. Like, if you want to lose weight, you need to be more disciplined and you need to be more consistent. I can't coach you if I'm, you know, getting ghosted, or if you're only filling in half your sheet. Like, how can I give you feedback when there's nothing to give you feedback on, you know? So I suppose, you know, personal training in person is quite personal, but I do feel online coaching, you know, you can build just as a good relationship as you can in person too, because you are communicating a bit more frequently and you just get way more detail with their check-ins and their lifestyle and stuff like that. But I do think they both have their pros and their cons. But I think, just to summarize, you know, in-person training, it's great for someone who is intimidated in a gym floor, hasn't built the confidence yet, or is a complete beginner and needs to learn how to move properly in the gym with exercises, weights and stuff like that, someone who's pregnant. And then online coaching, I think online coaching is great for someone who wants to work out on their terms, it suits their lifestyle more, and, you know, they kind of I find, like, I've coached people who, like, live in, like, you know, the United Arab Emirates and stuff, like Dubai, Abu Dhabi and stuff like that. And it's great that, you know, someone can get coached by a person in Ireland and they live, like, you know, over the other side of the world. It's I think you can kind of shop around a bit better with online coaching as well, because, you know, my coaching page is my shop window. Your clients and their transformations are your product, you know, your shop window. And I just feel like, if I know personally, when I started working with my coach, I liked the stuff that he posted and I found him very relatable, and I found him very good at what he does. And that's why I started working with him. And I know people who work with me, like, they probably follow me and they think, you know what, I actually like her approach to coaching. It's zero bullshit, it's relatable, it seems like a really sustainable approach. And then you're gonna get coaches out there who are gonna tell you they're gonna get you ripped abs in 8 weeks. Okay, like, there are coaches out there who will sell you lies just to kind of make a quick buck. So I do think there's way more options as well with online coaching. Again, like, you could literally work with an online coach who lives in America. Okay, you're not just confined to your local area. And look, sometimes, you know, it's the same with therapists. I probably have had clients who work with me and we didn't click. Not that we had arguments or anything, but they probably just felt, oh, she's not a good fit for me, and they probably went elsewhere and, like, had a better relationship with another coach. And that's okay. And that's the beauty of online coaching as well. There's way more options, and you can kind of, like, you know, trial and error and stuff like that. Like, I've worked with therapists before who I just felt I didn't click with, and not that they were bad at their job, but I just feel like you bold, you kind of, you work better with someone that you can relate to more, you know. Like, maybe there's women who probably wouldn't work with me because I don't have kids. She's not going to be able to relate. She's not gone through the menopause. How can I work with someone who doesn't know how I feel, you know? But that doesn't mean I'm not educating that department either. But maybe certain women sympathize, or maybe certain women want to work with coaches who are actively going through the menopause, so they're on the same page, you know, and they can relate to them more. So yeah, I do think there's more variety with online coaching. I think it suits someone who just wants to work out on their own terms. I think there's probably a bit more accountability with online coaching because you can text your coach, you know, and then also, like, the level of analysis that's available for the coach as well. Like, I just think you can coach them way more in depth. I mean, like, look at me in my fitness photo shoot. Yes, I'm bringing it up again. So, with my own coach, like, you know, he got me into absolutely ripped shape. Like, it does work. Online coaching does work. It does, but it only works if you put the work in. It's a 50-50 relationship. I give you the blueprint and you go and follow it. And look, you might try online coaching and think, you know what, I've done in-person coaching and I actually prefer it. Like, I've worked with clients before who their job actually pays for their coaching. So, they have some, I don't know, some program set up where, you know, it's probably for their mental health or something like that. And they have funding for their employees. If they, I don't know whether that's the correct word for it, but they basically pay for their clients' training. And you know, there's clients who I only check in with every 2 weeks. We've made that agreement and it works for them as well. They don't really like the weekly check-ins. They'd rather, like, you know, bi-weekly, and they work out from home. And I've also gotten women into great shape who work at home as well. It's just about being consistent and being patient. But yeah, like, sometimes I have clients as well who are like, oh, I only want to sign up for 4 weeks. And I'm like, look, we're not going to be able to make an awful lot of difference in 4 weeks. Like, if you want to turn this into a lifestyle, like, we need to work together closely for at least 8 to 12 weeks. Like, that's to build the foundations, you know. But I hope that kind of paints a bigger picture for you. But that's how I did in-person training, but I do prefer online training, to be honest, because I can work with more people from all over the world, and I'm not just confined to one space and, like, only the people in my area, you know. And it works for me too because I'm self-employed, and it doesn't mean that I have to be at a certain spot every day for 4 to 5 hours, because it's like a split shift as well when you're a coach and you're working a gym, because, again, you're working in the mornings and you're working in the evenings when people aren't working. So it suits me as well, and I have my set times every Wednesday, Thursday and Friday where I sit down and I give my clients feedback, and they're waiting on that. And, you know, I used to get that from my coach. My check-in day was a Wednesday with my coach, and I would look forward to his feedback. And it's great because someone's actually analyzing your entire week, and they're saying, like, when my coach would give me feedback, he would say, also you're getting weekly pictures off your clients as well, and they're putting their weigh-ins in, their daily weigh-ins, so you can actually see the trend too. Like if you're training with someone in person, chances are they're out there having their breakfast, they're fully clothed as well when they're stepping on the scale. So it's like going to Slimming World, it's going to be off, you know. If it's in the evening, you're out there having probably 2-3 meals and you're in your clothes, like that's easily going to add 2 kilo to the scale. Whereas like when you're at home and you're doing online coaching, you get to wake up, go to the toilet, you're in your small, your knickers and your bra, you stand on the scale, that's the lightest you wear that day, okay, after you go to the toilet when you wake up and you haven't eaten, and you log that in for 7 days. I have a look at it and I can see the downward trend, I can see it, and that's something I mentioned to my client. And if I'm like, look, it's been 3 weeks and things aren't really changing here, like you've logged in every day and there hasn't been really a drop, are you being accurate with your food? And sometimes that's something I spot as well. And they're like, you know what, Enya, I've actually been logging in the wrong portion size for my chicken the last 2 weeks. So I've actually probably been eating an extra 200 calories a day. And there you go. That's something that you can spot through the level of detail in online coaching, you know. So yeah, I enjoy online coaching. Don't get me wrong, I have actually considered going back to in-person coaching because it is nice to build that relationship with people, and you know, getting up every morning and having somewhere to go to as well. But again, I don't think I would have the ability to do that right now because I am very busy. But who knows, maybe 1 or 2 mornings a week I could do that. But yeah, I hope that's kind of like helped you decipher what kind of suits you more. But yeah, you can get great results through both. So, you know, training at home, training in the gym, online coach, in-person coach, it's just about what suits you. There is no better option. It's about what suits you. Now, obviously, if you're pregnant, definitely in person. But it's about what suits you. Maybe someone who could be tight for time and they just want to do their workouts on their own schedule. And yeah, like I said, I used to look forward to feedback from my coach every week. And you kind of get that little buzz when you're told that you're doing great. Everything's going great this week. Maybe just, you know, improving the protein, and here's some tips to help you improve on that and stuff. Something that you probably wouldn't be able to deal with an in-person coach, you know. I don't know, maybe there is some coaches that give that level of detail in person, but I just know the gyms I've worked in, it was very much just torn up, and then I log your weights and your reps. Like there wasn't really kind of much I could do around the field because there was nothing that you could fill out, you know, and I just kind of had to take your word for it. So I do think there's more accountability with the online coaching because you get an eye opener as well. You get to see when you're logging in your food every week and you're like, wow, and my protein was really low this week. Whereas you probably wouldn't do that if you were doing an in-person class, you know. You wouldn't have the luxury of the spreadsheet or anything, and you couldn't see trends, etc. You'd be able to obviously log your food into MyFitnessPal, but as a week overall, you probably wouldn't be able to see the bigger picture, you know. And then the cons of online coaching is I've had some people who it just didn't work for them. They said that they found it quite lonely. So if you are someone who thrives in an environment with other people, like you actually like going up to a gym and doing like a boot camp style class 3 times a week. You don't really like going to the gym by yourself. You just find it lonely. You find that you don't push yourself. That's okay too. Like you have to try these things to understand if they work for you, because what's the point in you maintaining that? And it's not working for you and you're not getting results, you know. You're like, look, I've kept this up for 4 or 5 weeks, Enya, and I just find when I'm going to the gym like by myself, I'm just not pushing myself, you know. And that's a pro of in-person training, someone standing beside you and they're saying, no, give me 3 more reps, you know. There's someone pushing you to do better. But when you are training by yourself and you're going to the gym and you're doing online coaching, you do have to push yourself. Like you don't have the luxury of having someone putting pressure on you and trying to pull the best out of you, you know. So yeah, that's a con to the online coaching. You might learn that you actually are someone who needs to have a PT because you're just slacking when it comes to the gym. Maybe you're great with the food, but you need someone on the gym floor with you pushing you. And then you just might find the experience very lonely, you know. Whereas other people, they love going to their boot camp classes and they love socializing and they love having other people around them. Like I remember I did have a girl and she was like, Enya, like, it's nothing to do with you, but I just find that I've been doing a couple of boot camp classes and I just prefer them because I go with the girls, or, you know, I've made friends there and I actually look forward to it in the evenings. And that's absolutely fine. And I won't berate anyone for doing that. You know why? Because that's something they're going to be able to sustain. They probably won't be able to sustain going to the gym by themselves. They're probably not going to get results because it's not working for them and it's not making them happy. Now, am I trying to say that you have to try, you know, 10 to 15 approaches to find the one that works for you. Now, sometimes it can just come down to you not being disciplined enough and not being consistent. Okay, but if you find I actually need someone screaming in my ear to pull the best out of me, that's great. Like, for instance, I don't like running with other people. I don't really like it at all. Like, a lot of running groups do be telling me, like, come up to our running group, like my local one, and it's great. It's a great running club. But I just like running by myself. I don't like running beside people because I feel the pressure to keep up with them. I feel like if I'm finding it difficult, if I stitch, if it's just not my day and I'm slacking, like, I feel guilty, or I feel like I should be doing a whole lot better. Like, I know when I run, like, with, even if it's one person, if it's a friend who's probably like fitter than me, and they're like, come on, like, you can do it, come on, you can keep up, you're better than this, I know you are, come on, you have to push yourself. I'm like, I am pushing myself. Like, this is absolutely painful. Like, you're running at a 5:30 pace and I'm at 6 minutes here. Like, this is sprinting. Like, I'm sprinting beside you to try keep up with you. So I'd rather just run on my own and just do it by myself. And then at least when I'm running in a marathon, like, I know I've trained by myself, so I'm used to the solitude, you know. And it's the same with online coaching. Like, I remember when I got paced by my friend Lauren Scully, my first half marathon, she ran with me. And you know what, in fairness now to her, I wouldn't have got the 204, or no, I think it was 205, without her by my side, because she did push me, and I knew I had to push myself that day because I was trying to get the sub 2, and I didn't get it. I was 5 minutes over, but look, could have been a whole lot worse. But I just remembered the last 5 kilometers, I was fading, and she was like, come on, don't stop, whatever you do, don't stop, it'll only be worse for you. Every part of my body was screaming stop, and then when you have someone telling you not to stop, it makes you want to stop more. So, but if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have got that time. Like, I would have probably slacked way more without her help and her motivation or pep talks. But yeah, I don't like running with people. Some people don't like online coaching because they need people around them. You know, they need to be in a class. They need to be in a setting where they're being pushed. And then some people do like online coaching because they like going into the gym by themselves and listen to a podcast. So yeah, they have their pros and their cons. But just because one's not working for you doesn't mean that you're the problem and that you can't stick to something. You just have to try something and realize if it's for you or not, okay? And it's going to feel difficult at the start of in-person coaching, at the start of online coaching. It's going to feel difficult because you're changing your habits and you're changing your lifestyle. It doesn't mean it's not working. But if after a couple of months you find, yeah, do you know what, like, this approach actually isn't for me, I'm going to give in-person coaching a go, because you might have the luxury that you've got to try both, and one actually suited you better, you know? So yeah, I'm going to finish up the podcast here anyway, but I am taking on one-on-one clients if you are venturing into looking for a coach. And then also my 8-week challenge as well is probably not as intense as online coaching. You get a written check-in from me once a week. You don't have access to me on WhatsApp, whereas online coaching with me, like one-on-one, you get access to me on WhatsApp, and also you get video feedback on a weekly basis, and a completely tailored program for if you want to train from home, whatever equipment you have available, or if you want to train in a gym, you tell me what equipment your gym has and I give you the exercises that you can do on that equipment. Whereas, like, with the 8-week challenge, it's a 3-4-5 day plan. So you can pick if you want to train for 3 or 4 or 5 days. And then you get a 7-day meal plan that updates after 4 weeks as well. Okay. And then obviously our calories and your macros are given to you. So yeah, it's a bit less tailored with the 8-week challenge and not as intense. Whereas, like, one-on-one coaching is kind of way more intense. So yeah, you can make up your mind which one you prefer. But I've also gotten great results. I have clients who, like, have done the last 3 8-week challenges. You know, it's probably cost effective for them. They probably prefer it. They probably don't need an intense approach. They actually like the 8-week challenge. And that's not them doing the 8-week challenge time and time again because they keep putting back on the weight. Like, they do the 8 weeks. I usually always leave a month gap in between my 8-week challenges. They maintain for that month, and then they come back then and they lose another probably 4 kilo, you know. So I think I had a girl that started at like 70 kilo, and after 3 8-week challenges she got down to like 60 kilo. So yeah, that's the way some people do it as well. But look, I will let you go, even though you aren't on the phone, and tune in next week to my next podcast. I'm going to try to get a guest on, but if I don't, I'll be back anyway. But yeah, thanks for listening. I hope that has helped you understand the difference between online coaching and in-person coaching.